let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Teach us, direct us, help us, and guide us. Give us what we need this morning. Help us to receive it. And Lord, be helped and made better from it. Father, we ask this in the Lord Jesus' name and please for his sake. Amen. Y'all can be seated. I mean, there's not really an opening text per se for this morning. Just a statement or two and scriptures we'll be looking at. Brethren, I want to look this morning as far as a Father's Day message about one of, if not the greatest, fathers in the Bible. That's Abraham. And I've preached on Abraham before on Father's Day and felt impressed to again today. Just hold on with me concerning how we're going to go with this. Abraham is indeed one of, if not the greatest father, one of the greatest fathers in the Bible. He was a great father to his children and to his people. Take and go to Genesis 17. Genesis 17. Genesis 17 and verse number 5. Genesis 17 and verse number 5. And Brother Harris has done give us the lineage here all the way back to Abraham and Adam and everything this morning, brother. That was good job, brother. Amen. Genesis 17 and verse number 5. Neither shall thy name anymore be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. So he's a father of many nations. Okay, take your Bible, go to Luke 16. Luke 16. Luke 16. And verse 24. Luke 16, verse 24. Look what the rich man in hell says. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented this flame. Notice he calls Abraham Father Abraham because he was the father of the Hebrew people. He was of and many nations. So the rich man in hell calls him Father Abraham. Go to Romans 4. Romans 4. He was a good father to Isaac. He was a good father to Ishmael. He was a good father to the other sons that later on he had by Keturah. Romans 4, verse 16. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all, those of faith. So Abraham, the father of those of faith, father of many nations, father of his children. I mean, he was one of, if not the greatest fathers in the Bible. Go to Genesis 18. Genesis 18. I mean, really, if you go look, there can be no question of how great a father Abraham was. Even called, Father Abraham by his people, because he was the father of the nation of Israel, of the tribes there, starting with Isaac and then with Jacob. Father to Isaac and to Ishmael and the sons of Keturah. And just he was just a great father. He really was. There's no denying that. And here's part of the reason. Genesis 18, verse 17. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? He was even called the friend of God, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him. And they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. He's a great man. He's a great father. But this morning, I want to look not at Abraham's faith and victories. No, I would rather this morning look at Abraham's failures and God's faithfulness. And I hope it'll be encouragement to any and all fathers here or that would be listening to this on recording. We're not going to look so much this morning at Abraham's great faith and his great victories. They're there. And that could be enough to take the wind out of your sails. But this morning we're going to look at the man Abraham and his failures. But yet God's faithfulness. Okay? First I want you to go to Genesis 12. Genesis 12. And when I say and I speak of Abraham's failures, I only do so because the Bible shows them as such. Not that I'm sitting in judgment on Abraham, but they're there. And they are failures, and that's the one thing about the Bible. It gives us the whole picture of the man, and us too. It may not be laid out in Scripture, but God sees the whole picture about you and I, and it'll be there, it's there before the Lord. But Genesis 12, verse 1, I got to do a little reading, okay? And the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sychem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And Bethel means house of God, by the way. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed going on still toward the south. Man, it's just good. God called him out. By faith he obeyed. He followed. God brought him in. Lord said, I'm going to give you all this land. He's set up a place to worship God called Bethel, which means house of God. He's going through the land. It's all going to be his, and it's just good. But as always, a crisis has to come. A crisis has to come. He has stepped out in faith. He's trusted God. But now that faith has to be tested further. He's done good so far. But he's going to have a failure here. Verse 11, and it came to pass when he was come near to enter into, number 10, and there was a famine in the land. Things aren't going so good now. There's a crisis. There's a famine. And Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. And it came to pass when he was come near to enter into Egypt that he said unto Sarai his wife, behold now, I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass when the Egyptians shall see thee that they shall say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. Listen, when you're starting to have to lie and come up with your own connivings, that probably is a good signal you're not in the will of God. That's probably a good signal that you need to turn around. You're headed down the wrong path. Now, he may try to justify himself saying, well, she is my sister. She's my half-sister, because she was. But it's still his wife. And he's going to lie about this thing. All right. Verse 14, it came to pass that when Abram was coming to Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman, that she was very fair. The princes also of Pharaoh saw her and commended her before Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. And he entreated Abram well for her sake, and he had sheep and oxen, and he asses, and men servants and maid servants, and she asses and camels. And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, what is this thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife? Why saidest thou, she is my sister? So I might have taken her to me to wife. Now therefore, behold thy wife, take her and go thy way. And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away and his wife and all that he had. Chapter 13, verse 1. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. A test came, and he failed. He failed. This man that is one of, if not the greatest fathers in the Bible, failed. A test came. A crisis came. He failed. Just flat failed it. He failed to pray. He failed to trust. He went to Egypt for help. He lied, and he got his wife to lie. He just flat failed. But God was faithful. Okay? I want you to think about this. Think about it real good. You know, when Pharaoh put him out, Egypt didn't want him. He's not where he ought to be with God. He's out of the land that God's promised him. He's away from the house of God. He's got to tuck his tail between his legs, as almost as it were, and get back to where he's supposed to be. He failed. Guys, listen to me this morning. Have you ever failed? Fellas, have you ever failed to pray? Have you ever failed to pray? I think I probably know the answer, but just, you know. Have you ever failed to pray? Have you ever failed to wait for God to show you what to do and you just panicked and acted or reacted? Have you ever failed to trust? You ever lied? Lied to yourself? Maybe lied openly? Have you ever asked your wife to lie for you? You failed. But God's faithful. You know why there's a nation of Israel today? Not because of Abraham. It's because of God.
Amen.
Because God gave His word to a man and God kept His word. Brother, if it had been up to Abraham, there would have been no nation of Israel. How could there be a nation when you gave your wife away, lied about her, and lost her? Brother, if it was up to you and I, we couldn't be saved, stay saved, do anything. It's God and His faithfulness. Brother, if it was up to you and me, you wouldn't have no family. You wouldn't have anything if it was up to you. Brother, if it was up to you and me, we wouldn't have nothing. Left our own. Brother, and all it has to do sometimes is for a little crisis or something come up to be reminded of what we really are on our own.
Amen.
The key is God's faithfulness.
Right.
Now, this man is one of the greatest fathers in the Bible, and that's a fact. He is. Friend of God. He failed. He just gloriously failed. You know what he did, though? He got back to Bethel, which means house of God. Have you failed? Have you failed? You got to face up to your failure. You got to face up to it. And I want to tell you something. God was looking after him even in his failure. God was taking care of him even in his failure. Now, you know something? As he's failing, he gets increased with oxen. He has his men servants, maid servants. But what good is that when you're not where you ought to be with God? He still has to get back. Did you know something? In your failure, things outwardly may still go good. Maybe even outwardly better than they've been. But you know things ain't right. Even though things are looking good, you know things aren't right. And you know where you need to be. And you need to get back there. Listen, have you ever failed like that? Failed to pray? Well, then start praying again. You ever failed to trust? Sure you have. Well, start trusting again. Never lied? Done something sinful? Because of your life? Because it's like a domino effect, you know. It's a domino effect. What happens is you do wrong somewhere, and then it leads to another wrong, which leads to another wrong, which leads to a law. It's just a domino effect. Somewhere you've got to stop and say, this ain't right. And I got to get right and make things right. And you've got your wife maybe to lie, or had your family lie for you or be deceitful. Well, it's just wrong. And you got to confess it and make it right. Get back to Bethel, guys. Get back to Bethel. Get back to the things of God. Read your Bible. Listen, read your Bible to your family.
Amen.
Listen, your family doesn't need commentary. They don't need comments you make. Just read. Just read. Maybe sit down as a family and all read your Bible together, but you're together.
Yes.
Maybe you read to them. You ain't got to worry about some great nuggets you've got to throw out. You ain't got to worry about some vast, great point that God has given you, some great. Just read it. The power is in the text anyway.
Yes.
Just read it. Read it all together. Have a time. But I'm just saying, get back to the things of God. You know, and listen, he ended up with more than he had before. But we'll get back to that in a little bit. But still, things aren't right. You know what? You may get more money than you've ever had. A windfall come your way, promotion, and promotion comes from the Lord. Don't get me wrong, God's looking after him, but that still doesn't mean things are as they ought to be. It still doesn't mean you need to get back to Bethel. He went to Egypt. It's the type of the world. He just failed. But he got back. And the key was here, God's faithfulness. Look at Genesis 16. This wasn't his only failure. Look at Genesis 16. Genesis 16, verse 1. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had an handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, Behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarai said unto Abram, My wrong be upon thee. I've said it before, but guys, I'm going to say it again. You are not going to win when you listen to your wife, so just obey God. Ladies, I'm not cutting you down. I'm not cutting you down, but you have your failings just as men have their failings. You are not a leader. You are not a leader. You are supposed to be a follower and a submitter. Amen. You are not a leader. God did not make you to be a leader. God made you to be a submitter and a follower. And when you start interjecting your ideas and what you think your husband ought to do, he's liable to listen to you. And you know what you'll do? You'll turn on him. You'll turn on him when the thing turns out. That's what she did. Look, here's my mate. Go into her and take her to wife. And he did. And then Hagar gets her head about her and disdains her. And she says, my wrong be upon thee. I gave my mistress to you. And look what, you know what? He can't win. Now, you know what? Abram's failing here. He's failing. Because you know what he should have said? Brethren, the Lord knows I'm not cutting Abraham down, but it's here, brethren. We're supposed to learn from it. What he should have said was, Sarai, I don't understand it. It's God's business. He's promised us a child. I don't understand it neither. It makes no sense. I'm getting close to 100. You're beyond childbearing age. It makes no sense. I don't understand it, but we got to trust God, and God ain't told me to go do this. You know what happens, gentlemen? Let's be truthful. We get weary, don't we? Guys, when you start getting beat down in your mind, sometimes the devil's going to have your wife articulate something that will be the straw that just breaks it over. Because you have possibly been struggling with the same doubts she's going through, and you're wondering. And then she says, look, this thing, why don't you just do it this way? And you know what? You're weak, you're tired, and you just don't want to fool with the argument. Sometimes you just don't want to fool with the argument. And you'll go ahead and just go, okay. But guys, you fail when you do that. We fail when we do that. All right? Listen, this may seem like a small thing. We're paying for it today.
Yes, sir.
Read your headlines.
Yep.
We are still paying for that today between Arab and Jew. He got weary. He failed. You know what? Because of some things I was talking about in Sunday school, do you know what Sister Melanie told me she read in an article? Listen to this. She's had to run across this. This is fascinating. You heard me. Gentlemen, you're made to be leaders. Ladies, you are not made to lead. You're made to follow, to submit. They did a study. This was not a Christian group. This was a test. They took these women and these men. Here's what they told them. They said, we want you to, in this scenario that's going to play out, we want you to fire someone. We want you to dismiss them. We want you to fire them. But in one scenario, we want you to fire them in a masculine manner. I told us the men and the women. In the other scenario, we want you to fire them in an effeminate manner. They tested testosterone levels of the both men and women, because both men and women have testosterone. Check this out. Whether the men acted in an effeminate or masculine manner, their levels stayed the same. But the women, whether they acted effeminate or masculine, boom, their level shot up. Why? Because it's a masculine thing they were doing anyway of being decisive. It's in a role they're not meant to play. I don't agree. I don't care. So, preacher, you just aggravate me sometimes. You hush. I love you, and it grieves me to pieces to see what the people are allowing the devil to do. And I understand the world allowing it. What I can't handle is God's people allowing the very same thing to go on.
Amen.
No, I'm going to pin it down. I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you, children.
Amen.
God made men to lead and women to follow.
Amen.
And you tell me it ain't so.
Amen.
That's scripture.
Yes, sir.
When you get outside of that, you have confusion.
Yes.
Ladies, you're not set up to lead.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? You know what happens? That's why. And isn't that interesting in the realm as far as lesbianism and things like that?
Yep.
When you start assuming a role, not just if you did it in a manner, masculine or feminine. When you assume the role, boom, those levels shot up. Because you know why? You're stepping in a man's role. You're stepping into a man's role. Regardless of how you play this scenario, you're stepping into a man's role. It's not right. And you know what? That thing leads to something that gets in there and gets unclean. That's why you're seeing these ladies today. I'm serious. That you're like, what in the world? How could you have done that? What is going on? Listen, as the devil subtly has got women to push forward in a role that's not them, it is causing changes in them. It's giving them giving him more room. And thus, look at what we've got today. Sexual uncleanness, perversion. And it all starts when you get out of the realm and role that God set up and intended. Amen. It is immaterial what you may think of what I'm telling you. You better hear it. It's fact. That book has the answers. Lord in heaven, help us. There's a role for men. There's a role for women that the Almighty has established. You step outside of it and you've just got confusion. Listen. She went and she's trying to influence him. And what Abram should have done, what he should have done, is said, honey, no. I don't understand it. How can you understand when your wife's beyond childbearing years and you're getting close to 100 and God says, I'm going to give you a child? What in the world? It just seems like, you know what it seems like? Well, you just ought to use your own reason, don't it? I mean, listen, you just thought, well, maybe God will do it this way and this is what he wants to do. And he listens to her. And he goes into Hagar and it just backfires. Look at this, verse 5. My wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. You know what he's in now? He's in the spot. He's disobeyed God. Disobeyed in the sense of he's not waited on God. God didn't tell him to do this. Now he's got a child he's responsible for. He's got another wife now. And now his first wife, his main wife, if you will, because Hagar's a concubine, his main wife, she's upset with him, putting the finger on him, blaming him. And he's just like, see what he does? What he should have done was like, you stop. You stop. My fault. My fault. I shouldn't listen to you. My fault. I did listen to you. But we're stopping it now. You lay off. You stop it. I'm going to handle this. Now, it was your idea, wasn't it? Hey, my fault for listening to you, but it was your idea. I'll deal with her, but we're not going to have this. But that ain't what he did. He failed. Guys, I'm just saying, man is one of the greatest fathers in the Bible. He failed. And you know, he failed like we often do. Just deal with it, okay? Whatever you want to do. Because isn't it easier sometimes to just go, whatever, just do whatever you want to do. Guys, when we do that, we fail. We're no longer leading. We just, whatever. And look what happened, because look what he said. But Abram said unto Sarai, behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. Abram, just let's remind you of something. That's now also your wife. She's a concubine, but she is still your wife, and you've humbled her, and you have a responsibility, and you can't just slough it off on her and just say, well, just whatever. No, you can't do that. But that's what he did. Look at this. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. He failed. He listened to his wife rather than trusting and waiting on God. In doing so, he made trouble for himself. He made trouble for his house. He made trouble for his people. And believe this or not, he made trouble for the whole world. This man, guys, when you and I follow God, it's astounding the far-reaching effects you and I can have. But fellas, when you and I don't follow God, it is stunning how far-reaching can be the effects of our lack of obedience and following the Lord. This great man, this man with the greatest fathers in the Bible, this man called the friend of God, listen, brethren, thousands of years later, we are still eating the fruit of that decision, and it affected the whole world. Isn't that something? One instance of like, well, maybe she's right. Okay. And here we are. Your country is tied into... Did you know your country could be drawn into war and people you know die because of a conflict that came about right here? That'll sink in real good about the consequences of our actions. He failed. He didn't take responsibility when he should have said, Sarah, listen, this was your idea. My fault. I shouldn't have done it. My fault. But enough of this. listen, now, you ain't going to treat her that way. And you know what? Listen, you know what he may should have said? Now, Sari, I listen. You know, she is my wife, too.
Oh, yeah.
Your idea. You had a problem with it before. Now, stop. She is. I got a responsibility to her. Honey, you're first, but she's my responsibility now, and that's the way it is. And you're the one who came up with the idea. But he didn't. He just deal with it. Whatever you want to do. And you know what it did? Messed him up for 13 years. Take your Bible. Go down to verse 16. And Abram was 86 years old. That's 86. Right? When Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. Go to chapter 17, verse 1. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, that's 13 years later. You know, it's interesting. 13, the Bible's number of rebellion. 13 years later, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I'm the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Brethren, God don't have to tell you that unless you haven't been doing it. You understand me? God does not have to look at you and say, walk before me and be thou perfect unless you've not been doing it. 13 years, this messed him up. Brethren, there's 13 years we hear nothing. It's nothing. 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 He listened to his wife. He took matters in his own hands. He did this thing, and for 13 years, I got a 13 number of rebellion in the Bible. No fellowship with the Lord that you see about. No walk with God like it ought to have been. When the Lord does appear to him, I'm the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Look at verse 2. And I will make my covenant, and I will make my covenant between me and thee and multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Look at that wording, as for me. Do you know what that implies? You ever told somebody, as for me, you know what the implication of that is? I don't know what you're going to do. But as for me, I'm going to do what I told you I was going to do. Once again, it's the faithfulness of God. Abram, I don't know what you're going to do. But as for me, I'm going to make you a father of many nations because I told you I would. Brethren, our God, bless his name. He's faithful. He's faithful. We tend to lean toward failure. Just so. Just so. But look here. But he humbled himself. Now, listen, and I'm not done. There's one more failure we're going to look at. But well, here's what I want you to do. Guys, I say this to all of us this morning to remind us of this. If the man called the friend of God, one of the greatest fathers in the Bible, could have multiple failures, fellas, you and I are probably going to fail at times. We're probably going to fail. The key is, what do you do with those failures? He gets back to Bethel. He falls on his face before the Lord. He humbles himself down before God. Guys, let me ask you something. Have you ever listened to your wife instead of God? Just from sheer not wanting to fool with the argument? And let me tell you something. Thank God for the wife. Listen. Listen. She's a better wife than I am a husband. And I'm not just blowing smoke. In my thoughts before the Lord, I think those things before God. I think those things about her before my God in my thoughts. But guys, look here. Have you ever done it? Have you ever just assumed what she was going to say, even though it didn't happen, and you just kind of like, what? Well, you just didn't do. You just didn't do like you ought to do. Have you ever just said, whatever, and let her deal with things? You failed. You failed. Maybe you hadn't. I had. Have you ever had your fellowship disrupted for a while with the Lord? I have. Fall on your face before him, then get up, walk before him, and be thou perfect. Seriously. You want to perfect something, you means to correct what is defective. To correct something, to perfect something, you correct what is defective. Walk thou before me. Be thou perfect. What did he say? He said, walk before me and be thou perfect. Correct what's defective. Take care of matters. Take your Bible quickly. Go to 1 John 4. 1 John 4. Fellas, if we leave out of here just as a Father's Day message and don't apply where God maybe spoke to our hearts, we're fools. God may be reaching out trying to help us today. Somebody here, somebody listening on the recording. But if all you do is just mentally assent to it and don't take the measures, you're fooling yourself. 1 John 4, look at verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. To get your love perfected, you got to love him because he first loved you. And that's the key. Always remember, think about how much he loved you. That's what got you to love him to start with. Think of his love for you. Your love can be perfected. Look at 1 John 2 verse 5. Here's the main way. 1 John 2 verse 5. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. You want to know that you're in Christ? You want to know that you're in Christ? Well, listen, keep his word. Because if you're saved, you can. You'll see the Holy Ghost helping you. You'll see God doing for you and helping you in ways you can't. You'll see that. And you'll know that you're in him. And it'll perfect your love. And if you're not true, you realize, I can't. I can't. I can't. I don't know what it is, but I can't. Well, something's wrong then. Maybe you're not what you profess to be. I mean, you'll see that though. But listen, if you want your love perfected, keep his word. Obey him. Keep his word, and you can't keep his word if you don't know what his word says. Listen, let me say this about Abram. He went in into Hagar. The Bible says she was an Egyptian. You remember when he failed the first time? Where'd he go? Egypt. Evidently, he brought back a souvenir from Egypt that's going to hurt him. Hagar. You know what the word souvenir in the dictionary means? A remembrance. Souvenir. You go somewhere, you want to remember the trip, you buy some little trinket, some little thing. Yeah, you remember. Okay, not so bad in and of itself. But be careful. Side trips cost you, brethren. Side trips will cost you. When you leave the world, don't take trinkets with you. Don't. Be careful. Do you notice a pattern here? When Abram fails, the word of God, God's true to his word, and Abram gets right. But there's scars, man. There are things that lead on to other and help other failures out. Did you understand? It's not that you can't get right with God. It's just that you leave the door open for an inroad for the devil to use down the line. When you get yourself right, you might want to carefully consider everything and make sure, cut any ties you need to cut, make everything right. It's like you brought back somebody from Egypt that down the line is going to be a source to bring more trouble. Look here. Last other failure I want to look at is Genesis 20. Genesis 20. Verse 1. Genesis 20, verse 1. And Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country and dwelled between Kadesh and Shur and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. Well, he did it again. He did it again. And so have you. And so have I. And that's just, my greatest father's in the Bible, friend of God. Did it again. He did it again. Lo and behold, he did it again. Whole thing all over again. Listen, and the thing of it is, his son picked it up and went further. Go to Genesis 26. Let me tell you something. That boy picked up some good things from Abraham. Now, he did. But he also picked up this little habit. Genesis 26, look at verse 7. And the men of the place, verse 6, Isaac dwelt in Gerar, and the men of the place asked him of his wife, and he said, she is my sister, for he feared to say, she is my wife, lest, said he, the men of the place should kill me for Rebekah, because she was fair to look upon. As we have said before, brethren, Abraham told a half lie. Well, a half truth, which is a full lie. You do know that. A half truth is still a full lie. He said, well, she's my sister. Well, she was his half sister. Man, Rebekah was no way, shape, or form Isaac's sister. Abraham told a half truth. Man, Isaac tells just all the way around it. You know what tends to happen? Listen. When they follow a bad example, they usually follow it worse than we do. Just stay on top of it, y'all. Stay on top of it. Stay on top of it. He failed with this, and his son followed it. Listen, real quick. I want you to look at chapter 20, verse 6. And God said unto him in a dream, he said to Abimelech now, not Abraham, Abimelech. Yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine. I don't understand that, preacher. Here's a verse that will help make it real clear. As the heavens are higher than the earth, the Lord said, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. God thinketh not as a man thinketh. God operates differently. See, you and I would be like, pray for me. Joker lied to me. He flat out lied. He just prayed for himself. Now the Lord comes and says, you better give him his wife back. Give him his wife back? I didn't even know. Well, the man's a prophet. And I'll have him pray for you. And if you don't, I'm going to kill you. Lord, I didn't touch her. I know you didn't. I didn't let you. Because I know you didn't. But you better get there this thing real quick. Yes, sir. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Now, see, you and me like, now, watch people. That ain't fair. Hush your mouth. God does things and works in ways. And let me tell you something. The sooner you get that, the better off you're going to be. The sooner you get that you don't hold God to your understanding his standards of what you think is right. You trust him. He does things and works in ways that, brother, did you know something? Did you know God knows what kind of man Abimelech is? God knows the society. God knows the way to get his attention. That's God's business. Let God work and you just follow and obey. But I want to show you something. So he tells Abimelech, you better give back. That's Abraham's wife. You better give back on key if you don't. And he's going to pray for you. Now watch. Look at verse 16. Verse 16. And unto Sarah he said, behold, I have given thy brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Behold, he is to thee a covering of the eyes and to all that are with thee and with all other. Thus she was reproved. Verse 17. So Abraham prayed unto God. And God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants. And they bare children. And for the Lord had fast closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. Now listen. I don't know about you, but if I got word that I was supposed to pray for this man, you know what I felt like? I don't deserve to pray. I did it again. I lied and I got my wife to lie and I have misrepresented the true and living God. Me pray for him? I don't deserve, but he did. Men, listen to me. Instead of sulking in shame, he prayed for Abimelech. Instead of pulling off somewhere, putting his head between his legs, and sulking in shame and disgrace, the man obeyed and prayed. Don't let failure and shame defeat you. Don't let failure and shame defeat you. Get right, pray, and walk with God. The key is God's faithfulness and word, not your failure. Did you get me? The key is not, the key is God, his faithfulness, his word, not your failure. You think that your failure disrupts everything. Well, it's a bump in the road. It ain't good. But the key is that God's faithful to his word, his promises, his faithfulness, his word. Get up and get right and move on. Three instances of failure. And brother, they're pretty big failures and they're far-reaching consequences. The man got up and went on. He's called the friend of God. He's a father. One of the greatest fathers in the Bible. He didn't let those things define him. I'm going to wrap some things up, but a couple of things I want you to notice. Now listen real quick. You hear me. You hear me. You hear me. I want attention. Wives, I want you to notice something. How did Sarah handle all this? How did she handle all this? If there's a wife here or on recording, and you think you got it, how did she handle all this? Her husband drug her all over the place in the will of God. I mean, he did. Ur of the Chaldees, up to Haran, down here, then down to Egypt, out of the will of God. She got. Listen, her husband lied and had her lie for him. Now, how did she handle it? You do know that Sarah is lifted up in the New Testament as an example of holy women of God. How did she handle it? Now, she had her failures when she got on this case about, you know, but listen, but I'm saying, how did she handle this stuff? Her husband lied and got her to lie. This is wrong. How'd she handle it? He did it again. How'd she handle it? He lost fellowship with the Lord. How'd she handle it? Look at how she handled it all. Listen, if you're not willing to try and be a Sarah, don't expect him to be an Abraham. Write it down. Put it in your Bible and write it down. If you're not going to try to be a Sarah, don't you dare try to expect him to be an Abraham. I'm serious. Did he fail? Yeah, he failed. Need to get up and get right. She failed too. But listen to me. Listen, look how she handled all this. Ladies, sometimes, this is Father's Day, sometimes, there's this thing of wanting to Abraham. Okay? Abraham had his failures. How did she handle them? Do you see her in his face? Do you see her yelling? Do you see her? And he had her, listen, he lost her to another man twice. And she just comes back and keeps going and is lifted up as an example of holy women. Now you hear me, you hear me, you hear me. Your pastor from God Almighty is trying to help every person here this morning. How'd she handle it? I know it's Father's Day, but this is tied into how'd she handle it? If you want an Abraham, are you a Sarah? Look here. Men, listen. I tell you something else to write down. Men, defeat in battle is not the same as loss of the war. Defeat in battle is not the same as loss of the war. Listen, he lost some battles. He got up and he kept going. Friend of God, father to Israel, father to Isaac, father to Keturah's sons, father to Ishmael, a great father. Failures don't make a failure, but quitting does. Amen. Failures do not make a failure, but quitting does. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Father, there is indeed only one perfect and true Father. That's you, Lord. That is you. But Father, we can be probably, Lord, undoubtedly better than what we are. And Lord, we can be what we should be. Lord, I believe that the pattern I see in the book is that we're going to fail. But Lord, that doesn't have to mean we're failures. Father, help us, dear God, as we see this great man, this great father, this friend of yours. Lord, help us to recognize he failed, but help us to see, Lord, what he did with his failures. Teach us, help us to lay it to heart. Help us, Lord, not merely to give mental assent to these things, but Lord, strive to seek your face and know how to apply them in our lives. Father, we thank you and we ask this in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. But I do want to say this. The Lord said about Abram, I know him. Make sure that you know God and God knows you. That above all. Make sure, find out where you are and where you ought to be.